torture you. Take my hand through the flames. I torture you. I'm a slave to your games. Hello again, Cowboy here for the Points Per Minute podcast. What a round that was, hey? Let's call it the Gareth Widdop round, where most coaches that didn't own Widdop scored pretty average, and those who captained him are absolutely laughing. Now, I'm not sure who out there has a voodoo doll of me, or if I unknowingly walked under a ladder or broke a mirror, but my run of poor form continued with an 855. This included having the captain on Tommy Turbo, being a Jack DeBellin owner, and trading in Pangai Jr. this week. This is easily my worst start to a season, and of course it has to happen when I decide to do a podcast and promise to share my scores with all of you, so let the judging begin. Now, starting this week, the Points Per Minute podcast will take on a new structure. No longer will I be going in order of position like I normally do, but I'm simply going to cover the attractive candidates, the duds, a quick FAQ, and one of the guys from the Supercoach community, Joel Banks, has written a brief stat attack segment, and I'm going to read it out on the podcast as the two that he's done so far involve some good info. Okay, my piece of advice this week, now this is more for the rookie super coaches. It's about prioritizing your trades, and this goes for every round throughout the entire season. Most of us have a small list of players we want to trade out of our sides, and we also have a few players on our radar that we want to trade in. The first thing you want to be doing is looking at how much cash the players in your team are expected to rise and fall, their scoring potential over the coming weeks, their form against their opponents, and of course where their points are coming from. Of course, I'm talking about base versus attacking stats. A player with a low floor who's struggling to hold their value might be a better trade option than a consistent player with a slightly worse break even, especially when the player with a low floor is facing a difficult opponent the following weekend. You'll hear the terms low floor and high ceiling being thrown around a bit. Basically, if a player's base stats are poor, then they generally have a low floor. A high ceiling is, well, it's pretty much any half, centre wing or fullback, to be honest, especially the main attacking options in a team. But you can check a player's best and worst scores on the Supercoach website or the NRL Supercoach stats website. The best tool to use when looking at your trade options from week to week is the Team Analyzer, which is found on the team page of the Supercoach website. Just hit Team in the drop-down menu and then choose the Analyzer view. You can then sort each player in your team by break even, average, or pretty much anything you want. Okay, first up, let's look at the popular trade options this week, and how about we start with the most traded in player this stage, Gareth Widdop. The positives and negatives with Widdop are simple. His scores so far are 106, 64, and 173, which is bloody ridiculous. He has a break-even of 3, so he'll just keep going up in price. His draw is actually pretty damn good, and the Dragons don't have a run of difficult opponents until round 17, when they'll play the Storm, Tigers, Cowboys, and Roosters in consecutive weeks. Obviously, we have to consider the Tigers as a strong opponent, considering their defense has been second to none. Between now and then, the only time they play difficult opponents back-to-back is in rounds 8 and 9 when they play the Chooks and Storm. This is a significant stat because it means that he won't drop massive amounts of cash unless he completely stinks it up against a weak opponent. And the final positives are, of course, that a high majority of scoring plays go through Widdop, and he also has the goal-kicking duties, so that's obviously a plus. Now, the negatives can be summed up much quicker. He's bloody expensive at 750k, and a massive 291 of his 343 points have come from tries, try assists, line break assists, and goals. This basically means that Widdop is averaging just 17 points per game without them. Now, this simply means one thing. Those trading him in are relying on the Dragons to continue their dominance on attack, which isn't out of the question considering their favourable draw. We can't fork out 750k and hope he strings together some 50 or 60 point games, which for any other half is a respectable score for their price. Now, the way I'm looking at it, Widdop doesn't just bring a high scoring player to your team, but the way he's playing, the reliance the Dragons are putting on him, the form he's in, and the Dragons' draw is also bringing a solid vice captain and captain choice. To contradict what I said earlier, I don't think Widdop's floor is that low, even though his stats outside scoring plays are very poor. Taking everything into consideration, I think he should be considered as a viable trade option this week, even though he's priced at 750k. Now, those of you sitting there going, mate, you've lost the plot, whatever you're smoking, make sure you give me some. Look, if you're not convinced Widdop is worth it at that price, I'll give you another option, and this guy sounds really appealing. Sarcasm, sarcasm. He's a bloke that's already produced an 18-point game this season, a bloke who currently has a break-even of 75. He's someone who's averaging just 41 points per game and costs 566K. He sounds like a horrible option, doesn't he? But I think Anthony Milford should be considered as a viable alternative if you either can't afford Widdup or don't think he's worth 750K. Now, Milford dropped 55K last week, but in all fairness to his owners, there were some unexpected circumstances in the opening rounds. He struggled big time against the Dragons in round one, but has now scored back-to-back 50-point games against two good defensive sides. He now has a fairly good run over the next 7 weeks, playing plenty of poor defensive sides. Of course, he'll be up against the Titans this week, and he has the Knights, Warriors, Bunnies, and Bulldogs between now and round nine. I think he's a solid pickup, so definitely give him some thought this week. Moving on to James Tedesco, who's a popular trade-out this week. Now, the theory here being that two of his three games so far have been terrible. The Tigers were always looking for Tedesco on offense, where the Roosters have plenty of other options. Okay, I guess I can't blame people for trading him out, but honestly, it seems more like a way to fund the Gareth Widdup trade. I can't say that I agree with trading him out. I've never known Teddy to back up a poor game with another poor game. His break-even is 53, and he's playing against the Warriors this week. Another stat that might change your mind, the Roosters are playing two teams worthy of the top four between now and round 16. They are the Dragons in round 8 and the Storm in round 16. Guys, give him another week or two. If you're trading him out simply to free up some cash, I'd strongly recommend looking elsewhere. Some other options to consider if you do own them. Jack DeBellin scored a try-boosted 79 in round 1, followed by a 45 and 29. He's averaging 55 to 60 minutes, costs 563K. Isn't really cutting it, to be honest, and at the moment his break even is 107, so he's a sell. Obviously Nathan Cleary is a sell, 600k, he's out long term now. Paul Gallen, he's already dropped 58k, but he's still worth 617k. He's playing around 50 minutes, averaging around 40 points if you take out the attacking boost last week, so I'd be selling him this week too. So there are definitely some high-priced options to sell, and these guys should be prioritized ahead of Tedesco, that's for sure. Okay, Adam Duehi seems to be the popular cheapy trade-in. He'll play his third match this weekend, has a break-even of negative 29. Now he's playing the Bulldogs this week, who seem to be a little unpredictable at the moment. The Rabbitohs also have the Dragons and Roosters in the following 2 weeks, and Adam Reynolds is due back in a week or two, so obviously there's an element of risk when trading in Duehi, but he'll start to make some coin after his game this week. Let's hope that he falls straight out of the side when A-Ray returns. If he plays a utility role from the bench, then he could start losing the cash he's just earned, but if he drops out of the side completely, then we can trade him out when it's best suited for our team. Looking at some trade-in options, and Cameron Murray looks solid. He just went up 20k, but he's producing the goods. That 22-point game in round 1 was from the bench, but he's now produced back-to-back games over 60 and is priced at 413k. He has a break-even of 3, so keep that in mind if you need a consistent forward. Luke Keary, he's another solid option for your halves. He's showing high involvement. As mentioned earlier, the Roosters have an epic draw. He's coming off 72 and 97-point games, costs 521k and has a break-even of negative 2. Now, Cohen Hess is a very interesting one. One of those rare forwards that seems to find the line on a regular basis. He's named to start again this week, coming off a 114-point game where he played 80 minutes and still scored well in the opening couple of rounds, playing 55 minutes. The reason why I think he's an interesting topic is the uncertainty behind whether he'll keep those minutes. I mean, if he keeps up his performance, then surely he will. The common negatives with Hess are that he seems to be more effective as an impact player, which could influence Paul Green to put him on the bench again against certain opponents. We saw what happened last season when he played around 7 games at 80 minutes, and the rest was fairly random. Mind you, he did show some level of consistency throughout the season when looking at his output, but I guess it's hard to tell how he'll be used in moving forward this season. Not a bad option by any means. It's not out of the question that Hess will continue producing the goods, but at 564k, you'd want him to continue scoring tries or at least produce a decent output. Now, a quick look at some of the backs that have caught my eye. I mentioned Fergo in my previous podcast, but those who haven't gotten on him yet, I don't think you've missed the boat. He's producing some great running meters and he's getting involved a lot. He went up 60k this week, but he's still priced under 500k. Well, he's 499k, but that's still pretty good for someone with his output. And also, he's someone that you could keep in your team long-term, which is a breath of fresh air when looking at the centre wings. Those looking at Christian Crichton, who's replacing DWZ on the wing at the Panthers, it's much safer to wait until after his second match. Anything could happen between now and then, and it's not like you'd be playing him in your team this week anyway. The Panthers are playing away to the Cowboys. DWZ will be out for another month, so he seems to be the flavour of the week when it comes to cheapies. Now, Josh Mansour at 461k and a break-even of 30. Scored 40 in round one, but now he has back-to-back 59-point games. He's a solid choice this week if you're looking to boost your center wings. He's averaging 30 points per game in kit-ups alone. If you can't fit him into your side this week, then consider him again next week after that away game against the Cowboys this Thursday. The center wing position is really interesting at the moment, isn't it? Because players such as Asako, who originally was a cheapie, is a genuine center wing starter over the coming weeks. The Broncos have that good draw, and Asako should score well with his goal kicking duties. Now, looking at some Uber pods, are those with less than 2% ownership. They are now. Neam McDonald at 456K, a break even of 8, averaging about 26 points per game in hit ups alone. Scored 74 last week and 64 the week before, but struggled against the Broncos in round 1 with 27. Look, the appeal here is the Dragons' favourable draw, and with his running meters, he shouldn't be a complete fail. If you're looking at being a little less risky, then maybe you could keep an eye on Reece Robinson after this weekend, who is, of course, Daniel Tupou's replacement, priced at just 311K, scored just 32 points in his first appearance last week, but the Roosters' draw is solid, and I actually don't mind that output from a player in his debut game. He's a low-risk option if you're in need for an Uber pod, so let's just see how it goes after this weekend's match. Okay, a quick look at the injury updates, and I'm going to mention the relevant SC players here. Tavita Pangai Jr. with his hamstring injury is expected back round 6, which makes him a hold. Connor Watson is likely to need shoulder surgery and isn't expected back until round 15, so he's an obvious sell. Jared Hayne with his hip flexor injury is expected back in round 9, but he's been crap anyway, so he's a sell. Cleary is a sell, not expected back till round 13 with his knee injury. A-Ray, he should be back in round 5, so keep that in mind if you want to trade in Duehi. Same with Manners, we're expecting him back in round 5. Also, this week, Cartwright has been benched, so while I don't think he's a sell, it might be best just to leave him out of your 17 this week. Onto a quick FAQ with the players. Now, would I be trading out Mitchell Moses this week? Look, it would be very difficult to hold on to a player who's averaging 17 points per game. The difference we saw pre and post his HIA in round 1 is massive. Yes, he's already dropped 70k last week, so those who've held on to him are trying to keep the faith, but now with the BE of 106, facing a good defensive side in the Tigers twice in the next 5 weeks and honestly showing minimal signs of improvement, I think Moses owners should cut their losses and look elsewhere. Next question, who should I prioritise trading out, Gallen or Moses? Okay, I think that's a very team-specific question, but from a general perspective, Moses is looking at dropping more coin, but if you trade out Gallen, who certainly isn't worth the 600k price tag, you'll have plenty of money to use for your trades. In saying that, you're probably using both these players in your 17, so if you can make the trades you want to this week by trading out Moses, as in if you can only trade out one and not the other, then at least you're eliminating a 17-point average player from your scoring side. Unless, of course, your gut is telling you that Moses will bounce back against the Tigers this week. This is what I mean by a team-specific question. Trading out Gallen will suit some, while trading out Moses will be more beneficial to others. What are your thoughts on trading out Sean Johnson? Right, the first statement someone will throw in your face is never trade out a keeper. My opinion on that statement is pretty simple. It more relates to forward keepers and consistent backs that aren't expected to drop their value or score well below their average. Now, regarding SJ, the issue here is his hard draw over the next 7 rounds. So get this, he will face the Roosters, Cowboys, Broncos, Dragons, Storm, Tigers, and Roosters again from now until round 10. Now, to put this another way, SJ averaging 40 to 50 points per game over the next 7 weeks is not out of the question. In fact, it's quite likely, in my opinion. He's currently worth 640k, so here's how I'm going to answer that question. Would I hold a 640k player who I'm expecting to average 40 to 50 points per game, who has a break-even of 88, who is coming off a 35-point game against a weak opponent and is playing a run of top 4 teams over the next 7 weeks? The never trade out a keeper statement is irrelevant in this situation because SJ is the type of player that can easily produce a run of poor scores, especially when he's playing a run of opponents like I've just mentioned. I reckon he'll drop a fair bit of coin between now and his bye week in round 13, so why not put the cash to better use? Okay, moving on to this week's stat attack, written and researched by Joel Banks, one of the valued members in our Supercoach community. He's taken a look at Andrew Fifita and found that since 2015, Andrew Fifita averages 68 against the Melbourne Storm at an average of 52.2 minutes, with a points per minute of 1.3. This includes one try back in 2015. The rest of his stats against Melbourne are 90% base and base attack. Now, he's played 5 games against the Storm since 2015, and of course, he's up against the Storm this week. Yep, thanks for the research there, Joel. And it's really interesting to note that he was averaging 52 minutes and 1.3 points per minute. And this season so far, he's averaging 10 minutes more than that. But his points per minute has dropped slightly to 1 point per minute. This means he's averaging 61 points per game so far this season. The big difference this year is Gallen's drop in minutes and Fifita picking up a little more of the load. Fifita comes with a break even of 55 this week. So if you're looking to boost your front row forwards, then he's definitely a consistent choice. Okay, now the first of my three round predictions is done. Prior to round one, I predicted BJ Leilua to get a three round average of 60 plus. He scored 50 in round one. He got injured after 23 minutes in round two and scored 12, then finished with a 45. So I well and truly fell short. That's zero from one prediction's correct. Thanks, BJ. You and the rest of the Raiders backs are doing great things for our Supercoach teams and my predictions, even with that favorable draw. This weekend, I'll need Tedesco to score 62 for the second of my three-round predictions to succeed. Now, my three-round prediction this week is Milford to score an average of 65 or more. He's averaging just 41 points per game at this stage, but I think he'll turn that around with the Broncos' up-and-coming draw. My tips this week are Cowboys, Bunnies, Storm, Roosters, Sea Eagles, Dragons, Broncos, and Tigers. Everyone, thanks for listening to my Points Per Minute podcast. Good luck with your trades this week, and I'll chat to you all next week. Cheers.